From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. As we go to air, more than 421,000 Americans have lost their lives to COVID-19. Here in Illinois, that's 18,798 family members, colleagues, friends, and neighbors. And that number is likely on the conservative side, as the state reports there are an additional 2,000 probable COVID deaths. The pandemic has at times overwhelmed hospitals, and in some hard-hit areas, it's also overrun morgues and funeral homes, which are having a hard time keeping up. Behind the numbers, each death casts a shadow, leaving innumerable personal tragedies in its wake. Families and loved ones trying to cope with the loss. And while grieving is always a painful process, grieving during a pandemic presents additional challenges. Listeners, I do want to say in advance, this segment will deal with sensitive topics, such as death, and it may be difficult for some of you to hear. But our phone lines are open, and we want you to call in at 800-222-9455. This has been a time of grieving for many. Have you lost someone to COVID? How did you or how do you go about memorializing them? And we wondered if the pandemic has made the grieving process harder for you in any way. You can also just call us and share a memory of someone you lost to COVID, or if you have a question for one of our guests, the number to call is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. Joining us now is the Reverend Marshall Hatch. He's the pastor of the New Mount Pilgrim Missionary Baptist Church in Chicago's West Garfield community. He's also a professor of ministry at Northern Seminary in Lisle, Illinois, and the author of the forthcoming book, Absent in the Body, Eulogies of Life and Death in Black Chicago. Reverend Hatch, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
We're also joined by Jocelyn DeGroat. She's a professor of applied communication at SIU Edwardsville. She studies death and grieving. She had an opinion piece published in the New York Times last year called What Should You Say When Someone Is Grieving? Professor DeGroat, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
We should mention that later on this segment, we'll also be joined by a funeral director. But first, Reverend Hatch, I want to begin with you because you've been on both sides of the grieving process, as a pastor, obviously, who helps families navigate the death of a loved one, but also as someone who has lost his own loved ones to COVID. As I understand, in April, your closest friend died of coronavirus disease. 3 days later, you lost your older sister also to COVID. Can you share a little bit about them and their importance in your life?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I can just remember vividly. It was April the 1st. I was on social media early in the morning and I saw a notice that my best friend for 45 years, we went to high school together and went to Western Illinois University together. And he was the best man at my wedding and the best man at my wife and I's anniversary 30 years later, passed away at 62 early that morning. And I, you know, just, you know, went over to the building they lived in and heard that he had had difficulty breathing for several days and passed away at that hospital in Oak Park. And so it was devastating. And I hadn't made a connection. We had taken my sister to the hospital literally a week before, and she was in the hospital and then, you know, put on the ventilator. And we got that call 3 days later, April 4th, that she had passed away. And I remember that afternoon getting a call that another one of my members, 55 years old, had passed away. And his family was like, Pastor, what's going on? It was surreal then, and it feels surreal now. It was just, for us, every bit of a pandemic it has been in the Black parts of the Black community in Chicago. And so my own personal grief, my sister was my oldest sister. She was like a surrogate mom. My mom passed when I was in 1967, when I was 8 years old. And so these are losses I'm still trying to progress process and recover from, but it has been it has been almost unreal, you know, just the numbers of people that we've lost and people close to me that I still have not fully comprehended the loss.
Well, let me begin by saying I'm so very sorry for your losses, and thank you for sharing your memories of them with us. Can I ask you to talk a little bit about, I mean, I imagine in normal times there would have been church services, big funerals, but I'm thinking back, this is April. We were all being told to stay at home. What was your grieving process like at that time?
My oldest sister was 72 years old, the trailblazer in my family, the first to graduate college, the first to go to Africa, 12 years older than me. We didn't have a funeral. We couldn't figure out how to have one because we didn't know who could come. It was, I think the numbers at that time was about 12 people that would have been allowed. And even at the cemetery, the same numbers. And so we had a visitation at the funeral home where I guess people were able to drift in the day before. And then the next day it was a burial. And we, left from the church with the body in front, but we never brought her in. The closest that we could feel to having a funeral was to actually just leave from the church site to the burial. So, in our tradition, I mean, the funerals are kind of like the big home goings and a big part of the grieving process. And I know that a lot of my family members, have felt very empty since, because it's as if, that we didn't get a chance to have the kind of goodbye, especially in our religious tradition where we have this full-blown service and all the community can come out. She was actually a church organist from age 16 to 72, trained church musicians, and under normal circumstances would have had this grandiose homegoing. And, to this day, we haven't had a service for her. Excuse me.
No, thank you again for sharing that. And again, I'm sorry for your losses. Professor Jocelyn DeGroat, I want to bring you into the conversation now. You've been studying grief for 15 years. You wrote this New York Times op-ed in May. The opening sentence at that time pointed out that 100,000 Americans had died. Of course, the number now is sadly much larger. You write about the importance of recognizing loss. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So a lot of times, especially in times of COVID, when we don't get that closure that we need, that sounds like what is happening with the Reverend's family, you don't get to have that closure and go through the grieving process and recognize the loss yourself. And in addition to that, you have, gosh, all these different things coming at you, and you don't really get to grieve as you wanted to grieve. And so it's a lot of compounding components coming together, and it's just really difficult for everybody. And the thing is that other people might see the loss as, just get over it. There's 400,000 people who are dead of COVID. So, you're just one of 400,000 people being sad. And so just deal with it and move on. And that's the absolute wrong attitude to have toward grief. Grief doesn't have a timeline. I know a lot of times in popular culture, we like to follow Kubler-Ross's 5 stages, which most scholars would never use, because the 5 stages kind of indicate that there's a path, and there's 1, then 2, then 3, then 4, then 5, and then you're done. But real grief goes from shock and numbness, there's yearning and searching, disorganization and despair, then there's reorganization and recovery. But at any point, you can go back to any of those 4 sort of, I don't want to call them phases, but little moments in time. And so like at birthdays, you might go back to that shock and numbness, like, oh my gosh, that person is not with us anymore. So it's very complicated.
And can you talk about how the fact that people are not able to pursue their traditional means of saying goodbye, be it the proverbial Irish wake, the homegoing we just heard the Reverend talking about?
Yeah, so those are all rituals, and in a time of, trauma and high emotions, you need a script to follow. And so the rituals of the funeral or the Irish wake or the homegoing, those, like, you've seen them or you've followed them before, and so you have some semblance of order in your life. But now we don't even have that to follow. And so, like Reverend said, we went to the funeral home and then we went to the cemetery, and that was it, I guess. And instead of, having the big to-do and being with your loved ones and leaning on each other, you just don't get that.
Listeners, I want to remind you, if you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking about navigating the grieving process during the COVID-19 pandemic. Our phone lines are open. We also want to hear from you, especially if you've lost someone to COVID-19. We want to know how the pandemic might have affected your grieving. 800-222-9455 is the number. 800-222-9455. Our guests are Professor Jocelyn DeGroat, Professor of Applied Communication at SIU in Edwardsville, as well as Reverend Marshall Hatch. He's the pastor of the New Mount Pilgrim Missionary Baptist Church in Chicago's West Garfield community. And Reverend Hatch, you work in a community that is predominantly African American, and the pandemic has disproportionately affected those communities here and around the country. In Chicago, Black residents make up, I think it's about 30% of the city's population, but I was looking up the stats this morning, 60% of the COVID deaths in the city. Can you talk about the effects that COVID-19 has had in your community?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's felt like every bit of a pandemic that will be unforgettable. And, of course, with social media, the numbers of people who have transitioned in this period in the Black community, the numbers of prominent people that community organizers, community leaders that I can recall who've passed in this season, it has just been an enormous amount of loss, and it's was an unforgettable year, 2020, for Black Chicago, in the numbers of people that we lost, in the ways that we could not grieve, and reflecting on all of the ways that grieving is not just for families, but it's a community process. It's a recalling of what people meant in their larger community. And all of that has been taken away by the, need to social distance and to be very careful with big crowds. So it has been devastating in Black Chicago. That has added to, of course, the violence epidemic and all of the other kinds of pathologies that have come from the disinvestments that have been in Black communities and the sense of siege that these communities have been under for quite some time. It compounded, and then of course it exposed the wide disparities in terms of health and access to health care. It's been a very difficult season.
What do you say to people in your faith community? How do you help guide them through this difficult, constricted grieving process?
One of the things that, because we didn't have a service for my sister, and I think that, all of our services more or less have been virtual online, and, lots of people tuning in. I've been told that just being able to example faith and to hold on to my faith and to teach faith publicly, that a lot of people have gotten solace out of that, out of watching the minister with public grief and also commitment to faith. One of the things we challenge families, this is a season of time, and this too shall pass. And so this pandemic, as much as it is raged, at some point there is going to be an expiration date and we'll be on the other side of it. And so, you know, it's the proverbial, hold on to your faith until you get to the other side.
For everything, there's a season, I think I hear you saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
I preached that Sunday.
Let me, we need to take a break here. Let me reintroduce my guests before we do so. We've been speaking with Reverend Marshall Hatch. He's the pastor of the New Mount Pilgrim Missionary Baptist Church in Chicago. Also, Professor Jocelyn DeGroat, who's a professor of applied communication at SIU Edwardsville. We want to take your calls. 800-222-9455 is the number. 800-222-9455. A little later in this conversation, we're going to be joined by a funeral director from Illinois. But like I said, we're going to be taking a quick break. We'll continue this conversation when we come back. You're listening to The 21st. Stay with us. This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about a pretty heavy subject for the first part of our show today, and that is grieving, mourning in a time of pandemic. 420,000 Americans have now lost their lives to COVID-19. We're approaching 19,000 Illinoisans, although that number is probably on the low side because the state estimates there are another 2,000 probable COVID deaths. We're joined for this conversation by the Reverend Marshall Hatch, who's the pastor of New Mount Pilgrim Missionary Baptist Church from Chicago, and Jocelyn DeGroat, who's a professor of applied communication at SIU Edwardsville. She studies death and grieving. In a moment, we're going to be also joined by a funeral director from downstate Illinois. But Professor DeGroat, I want to ask you, but right before the break, we were hearing Reverend Hatch talking about the sort of community-wide toll of COVID-19. And I wonder if you can talk about, from your sort of academic perspective, if coping with loss changes based on the cause of death. I mean, is losing someone to a pandemic when so many people are dying, does that affect the psychology of grief?
Yeah, definitely. I would say so. At the beginning of the pandemic in the United States, like March, April, there was almost a stigma attached to having COVID, like you did something wrong. And so even the people who had loved ones die of COVID, they might not have wanted to admit that or tell people. And as a result, you're not getting that social support that you wanted. And now after, you know, gosh, we've almost become numb to it, which is awful. We're just so desensitized. We're really looking at it as like, oh, that's just one more. Like, it's just what's one more out of 400,000? And so that's unfortunate. It's a way of disenfranchising the loss. In grief literature, we talk a lot about disenfranchised grief. And what that means is they basically say, your loss doesn't matter, or the deceased was old and they were going to die anyway, or maybe you shouldn't have been having that relationship. But when there's the type of loss that you're asking about, yeah, that absolutely plays a role. And then it also affects other losses that happen during the pandemic, you know, car accidents, or if you had a different illness, or if you had cancer. People like announce the death and then they're like not COVID related, because you have to make that distinction for whatever reason. So yes, definitely the cause of death plays a role in whether people allow themselves to grieve. And then of course, like I was talking about, the social support, just, you know, there's lots of texting and Zooming and calling, but some people need that physical touch or just to be around other people. And we just can't do that safely right now.
Listeners, I want to remind you we can take your calls at 800-222-9455. If you have any questions about grieving at this time or especially if you want to share your experience mourning the loss of someone during COVID-19. 800-222-9455 is the number. That's 800-222-9455. Also joining us now is Kevin Rafferty, who's the president of Rafferty Funeral Home in Moline, Illinois. Kevin, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So how has COVID been in the Quad Cities? Can you talk about your role in this past year guiding families through this grieving process with all these restrictions that have been put in place to try and protect people from spreading the disease?
Yes, we're actually in Region 2, and we have just gone into Phase 4, which now allows us to have up to 50 funeral attendants for a funeral. But to begin the pandemic, we had the very first death in Rock Island County, which is where we're located. And, you know, I think we all know that we need to be there for each other. The hugging, the touching is so necessary, and it's been put on pause, and that's never good with grief. And it's affected so many people in so many ways. That very first death in Rock Island County, his wife took him to the emergency room, and 3 weeks later he passed away. And the next time she saw him was here at the funeral home. So it's not what we'd like. And we've gone to drive-through visitations. And now live streaming seems to be the next best thing to being here, which we are doing for almost all of our services if the families wish.
And Reverend Hatch, I wonder when you hear that, what do your parishioner or members of your faith community have the same sort of experiences? And what advice do you give them for, you know, trying to help them cope with this loss specifically during the pandemic?
Yeah, you know, it's the same kind of abruptness that has happened over again, where people seemingly, you know, died suddenly. And so, you know, people have had the shock of that. And we did start having similar kind of services, small for the immediate family, and then live streaming, normally over Facebook Live for the wider community, to again, you know, give people some sense of the process of grieving that will at least give, as Dr. DeGruyt said, a sense of ritual of saying goodbye. And so, you know, that's very helpful. Of course, here in Chicago, you know, you have also the violent deaths, and some of these services actually can become quite large, even in the pandemic, particularly with younger people who have a certain sense of invincibility from, you know, from something like a virus. So it's, you know, there are just a lot of challenges because, you know, the pandemic has made violence more regular, even than it made death rather more regular than it normally is, even in communities with challenges of violence.
I want to go now to the phones. Lisa is on the line from Ottawa. Lisa, thank you for calling in.
Hey there. I want to thank you all very much, and I just wanted to also pay my condolences to the pastor or reverend there. I apologize if it was reverend or pastor. I don't know what the matter, sorry, about the loss in his community. And it is, it's just terribly heartbreaking. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, my husband lost his mother July 18th and his father 3 weeks ago. And I want to know how best to help him because...
Oop, did we lose you there? Oh, you're there. Okay, how best to help him? So you wanted to know how best to help him in his grief.
He won't go to counseling, and it's coming out in ways where he'll, like, you know, blow up over nothing. And he also has a very stressful job at a prison, and I just want to know how to help him through this, because it's very, as the pastor said, it's just a very different kind of, I mean, not verbatim, but however he said that, it's the grief is compounded, you know.
Yeah, no, it's certainly a difficult time to have that loss, which is difficult under any circumstances. Lisa, thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate it. Please call back again. Professor DeGroat, I wonder if you have any response to our caller there about helping her husband who lost two family members in the last year.
Yeah, absolutely. And she herself has lost her in-laws. So that's, you know, she's dealing with some grief herself while trying to also help her husband. So Lisa, also please take care of yourself. So with loss, there's lots of different emotions, anger, and especially it sounds like he's stressed. So that's compounding it. The one thing that I tell people to say is, how can I help you? What can I take off your plate? Is he in charge of taking the garbage out? Is that something that you can handle? And it sounds silly because it's just a little thing, but those little things add up. And if you can just sort of ease it, that would be helpful. And you said he won't see a counselor or go to therapy, which is something I would recommend. But if he's not, you know, if he wants to talk about it, let him talk about it. I think grief is a very, very personal emotion. And so some people do not want to talk about it, and making them talk about it makes it worse. They just want to process it themselves. Now, other people want to talk about it, and that's fine. You can ask questions. And I also say, don't forget to laugh and tell stories. You know, remember that time your dad did this? Oh, that was a good time, you know, and just keep the memory alive as well as helpful, in my experience as well.
That's great. Great advice. And Kevin, as a funeral director, I mean, you work closely supporting family members. Anything you can add for our caller?
Well, I think with what she's going through, we all need support, and it helps if you have support with family and huge support with your church, if you have a church affiliation. And I think when people come to a funeral, you constantly hear, if there's anything you need, please let me know. And I think sometimes that's an open-ended invitation, and many families don't maybe take someone up on that. And I really wish that more people would, because if you would make a phone call, you would probably have 10 or 15 people there for support. And I think many times it's helpful for us to stay in a routine with our friends, our support group. I think it's when you shut yourself out, it seems to me, is when people have the most difficulty getting through grief.
I'm so glad you mentioned that phrase. If there's anything I can do, let me know. I'm sure I've said that many times. I'm sure I've heard that many times. But as you point out, it's not something that people often take up or follow through on. Professor DeGroat, I read that you actually, one of my producers pointed out, you'd done a study of the statements most appreciated by people grieving a loss. Can you talk about maybe some of the things you shouldn't say and some of the things that are better to say when you're trying
absolutely. Yeah. I'm in the middle of that data. And the best thing to say are, I'm so sorry. And if you ask, you know, if there's anything I can do to help, let me know. If they do reach out to you, then you got to follow through. You need to help out. Some people like to be a little more specific. Let me know if there's anything I can do. Do you need groceries? Or do you want me to pop over and clean, or whatever you feel comfortable with? I'm not sure how close you are with the person who's grieving. And the things not to say would be anything that minimizes the loss. Even saying, I know how you feel, is terrible, because you don't know how they feel. You might have had the same loss. You might have lost a parent just like they did, but their loss is personal. Maybe they had a complicated relationship with their dad. Maybe they hadn't talked to him for 10 years, or maybe he was like the best friend. And so your loss is not their loss. So just saying, I'm sorry, what can I do to help? I'm here to listen. And stay away from anything that minimizes the loss.
And Reverend Hatch, I wonder, what about you and members of your faith community? Do you see people try, even though we're supposed to be staying apart at this time, trying to reach out to each other, helping each other through this?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it's very difficult for people to stay apart, and sometimes they don't. You know, but I do agree wholeheartedly that the laughter is incredible medicine. I mean, I found it to be the case in my own personal experience, and then also with families. And it is an incredibly interesting relationship that laughter and grief has. You know, some of the deepest laughter comes during times of grief when one remembers, you know, something funny or humorous and pleasant about the person. And then so talking to people and bringing that out, I find out, is a great pastoral skill, honestly, to be able to move people into laughter, even sometime within the hour or two after the transition. I've had that experience recently with a family. And in interesting ways, I mean, I preached Sunday that text that you mentioned, Ecclesiastes 3:1, everything has a season. There's a purpose to everything that happens under the heaven. And I talked about the ways in my family, death literally makes room for life. And in our family, we can point to those very specific people that have made transitions in our family that have been very meaningful. And it almost seems like inevitable there was some kind of birth also in the family. It's as if death makes room for life. So helping people to see the circle of life, the way things work together, this, you know, that life is in constant change and motion, and that even though death is a part of life, that it is a part of life that also makes room for more life. So helping, you know, that's what religion really ultimately, I think, benefits, is not for the easiest times of life, but the most difficult times of life, helping people to make sense out of a bigger picture.
Professor DeGroat, just about a minute left in our conversation. I just want to end with you. If you can talk about a little further down the road, funeral's over, maybe it was only a virtual service, but those who are especially close to the person lost are still grieving, often alone in this pandemic. What should people think about as far as the cycles of grief, how long it can take, and is trying to move forward?
Oh, grief lasts forever. And I think that people need to realize that that feeling is normal if you're still sad. Now, if you're sad in a way that affects your daily life, then yes, you should probably check out some counseling. But there's just, you don't move on. You figure out how to live with that loss. And that's that reorganization and recovery and just changing your worldview to now include that this person doesn't exist in the physical world with you anymore.
Professor Jocelyn DeGroat is a professor of applied communication at SIU Edwardsville. She studies grief and had an op-ed in the New York Times last year called What Should You Say When Someone Is Grieving? We've also been speaking with Kevin Rafferty, who's the president of Rafferty Funeral Home in Moline, and Reverend Marshall Hatch, pastor of the New Mount Pilgrim Missionary Baptist Church in the West Garfield community in Chicago. Reverend Hatch, Kevin, Professor DeGroat, thank you all so much for being with us today on the 21st.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Ryan.
More to come after a short break. Stay with us.